Your drive home starts now with Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Followed by Hamish and Andy.
This is Carrie and Tommy.
Happy Friday Eve, Carrie Bickmore.
Oh, what a great sound that is.
Isn't it?
What, Friday Eve?
Yes.
No, I'm disappointed because I'm all about the working week and hanging out with you guys.
So
one of these weekends.
I'm going to introduce you to one of my friends this show.
Oh.
Yeah. I want you to meet a friend.
Okay.
Mine.
Okay, that's fun.
Let's play this game because I want to meet some of yours too.
Nah, no chance.
Oh.
Sorry, exclusion zone. I don't have any. I've got to go rustle around some actors.
You always know. I've got a friend. You always know if the relationship isn't going well because they purposely keep the person away from you because it's like once the circle closes, it's harder to get out.
I find it really stressful meeting the friends too early.
Yeah.
Sometimes they're like, you've only gone out two times and they're like, hey, come hang out with my friends. I'm like, oh, no. I am not too sure about this. Hey, I had the weirdest morning. I woke up. You won't believe what I woke up to.
Oh, I can't wait.
Not next to two. Oh, gosh. Both would be fun.
Can I meet her?
Too soon.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
I promised you about something that I woke up to that was a bit weird.
Yes.
Right? How's this? What do you think if you're lying in bed and the first thing you hear is this?
Are you expecting someone? At the door?
It wasn't quite a knocking. No, it was more erratic than that. That's what I thought it was at first.
Well, I wake up to that often because the guy next door to you, I've told you before, just does a lot of banging all the time.
Oh, the no pants dance that we couldn't work out.
No. I think there's something going underground, but anyway, either that or he's
playing
he's
just
a
hammering
kit.
In time. Oh, drum kit.
I don't know. Something's going on.
Okay.
Occasionally I hear the pipes, bagpipes as well. Anyway, it's not about what I
mean,
hear.
That's a fun bedroom to be a part of. What's that, Dale? Just the bagpipes that would spice things up a bit?
So, yeah, it wouldn't be unusual for me to hear that, but for you, did you go into panic?
So, yeah, I was trying to work out and it got more frantic. So then it was something like... I was thinking, what's this? And then it stopped and I went, oh, God, that's over. I'll go back to bed. And then I just hear a woman's voice go, Lauren. Just like that. Lauren. And I thought, that's weird. Loz is my housemate at the moment.
Oh, Lauren's your housemate.
Yeah.
So who's the other woman?
I've got no idea.
Oh,
and
right.
It's a voice I've never heard
inside
before.
Inside the house or outside the house?
I can't really, because I'm dazed and half asleep, I can't really work it out. And then, Lauren! And then I hear these footsteps and I realise it's coming from a room upstairs that isn't mine. It's coming from a room there. And I worked out, I think it's the bathroom. And then I hear these footsteps come upstairs, which I'm assuming is Loz. And now I hear more banging from the other side.
No.
And then laughing, like so much laughing. And then the other voice going, it's not funny! It's not funny! And then I hear Lauren's voice go, Lachlan! Lockie, which is her partner. Lockie, Vic's stuck in the bathroom. And I hear a confused male voice from downstairs go, what? How did that happen? And she goes, I don't know, but just come help her. And she's laughing. And then I hear Lockie run up the stairs and then he starts laughing as well. And I'm thinking, oh, bloody hell, I'm going to have to get out of
involved.
Bed and deal with this.
This is your time to be the hero. You know how you want
to
be the hero.
I'm too tired and
okay.
It's just in the morning
okay.
And she's just stuck in a bog. As far as heroes go, it's not your number one,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Mission. But I thought, Lockie will fix this. Great. I don't have to do it. He's very handy. And he goes, he laughs and laughs and laughs and then breaks his laughter just enough for me to hear him say, oh, I've got no idea how to fix this. It's making me sweat and my cab's out the front. I got to go. Wake Tommy. And so I think, oh, bloody hell.
He left.
He absolutely left.
Girl, who's the girl have we worked out that's in the toilet?
I now know Lauren was going to the races today and she was getting her makeup done. It was a makeup artist and she's come upstairs to use the loo and locked herself in the tummy. And as you know, it's a house I've just moved into.
So you don't know all the tricks to it?
No, not at all. And she, I'm up and I'm like, what's happening? And she goes, the handle's just spinning and spinning and spinning and I can't get it out. And I'm like, okay. And I went and found a toolbox. How's this? I was way handier than I thought I was. And unscrewed the door handle and then jimmied the lock from the outside and got in, right?
Saved the day. Her. You were the hero.
Yeah, but it was about like 20 minutes she was stuck in the dunny, right? And this poor woman, because I heard her, you know, screams just get more and more desperate. There must have been a second where she's gone,
I'm never
this
getting
is
out
it.
Of here.
This is it. I'm stuck in. And even at one stage, because I said to her, is there any windows in there? Cause, and she's like, no. How do you not know this? It's your house. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Here's a question for you.
Mm.
Lauren had to go to the races. You had to come to work. If you hadn't have got her out, would you have just left and
well,
left her in
the
there?
Well, this is the other thing. That really, so Lockie left, and then I come out to try and fix it, and Loz, in her panic, goes, call the fire brigade. I'm like, don't call the fire brigade. She's like, isn't that who you call when you're locked in the bathroom?
Who
like,
do you call?
Well, a locksmith. Anyway, she goes, hang on, isn't it? Don't you call the fire brigade when you're locked in the bathroom? I'm like, no, you call them when you've got a fire.
So they help in other situations. They rescue cats from trees.
Don't call them if your cat's in a tree.
No,
but don't call the fire brigade. No, that's not what you're meant to do.
No, do they not? Okay.
Don't call the fire brigade if your cat is in a tree or if you're locked in a bathroom.
Only if there's a fire.
Only call the fire brigade if it's an emergency. One of the problems I have is people like Loz go, oh, my makeup artist has been stuck in a bathroom for 5 minutes. Please help. Hoping a hot fiery turns up.
All
Here's
right,
what I want to know. Yep. 131060, yep. Give us a call. Where have you been stuck?
Oh, this is awesome.
I'll take bathrooms, but I'll also take
I've
anywhere
else.
I've
got one for you next.
Oh, great. I
Actually,
can't wait.
I can show you physically where I've been stuck.
Oh, God.
In this room, after the break, I'll show you.
Okay, great. Give us a call.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Kerri-Anne Kennelly joins us soon right now on 131060. Where were you stuck?
We got Cat coming up.
Oh, you'd be stuck with Cat somewhere, wouldn't you? That'd be great.
I'm so glad you said with. I thought that was...
stuck too?
Yeah, okay, sure. Remember there was that story about the two people that had the piercings that got stuck?
No.
Okay. Hey.
No, tell me.
Well, no, they were doing the thing.
Oh,
and then their
piercings got stuck. Okay, now I know why you stopped talking.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Kerri-Anne and I haven't been stuck like that before.
We've
been on holiday together, though.
I mean, let's see what happens today, hey?
So your friend, makeup artist, got stuck in the toilet for 20 minutes today.
Yes, and I had to unscrew the door handle. A bit MacGyvery, can I just say.
You are very... up and at 'em today. I feel like it's given you a spring in your step.
Yeah, because I never thought I could fix something.
Do you want to be
I've
a hero
never fixed
again?
Anything ever.
Do you want to be a hero again? A handyman again?
Because you promised me, you said there's somewhere you get stuck.
Because I remembered the jacket I'm wearing today. I got stuck in that jacket on the weekend. I'm going to show you. I
Straight
got stuck
jacket?
In the jacket.
Okay.
And I couldn't get out of it. The only person that got me out of it after 25 minutes was Ollie.
Oh.
So I think you could be a hero.
I mean, I could also be
Keep
really funny
while
and
I put
just
my jacket on.
Not. Let you out of the jacket.
I've been wearing this jacket all winter and suddenly I put it on and it won't come off.
So is it a zip problem?
It's a
I can
zip
see
problem.
It now. So it's a big kind of Parker-ish kind of jacket. It's pretty cool. Yeah. It is warm though.
Okay, and
you've got a jumper under it.
Do up the zip. So yeah. Here we go. So do up the zip.
Yep.
Yep.
Right. Yep. And then what happens? So that's gone right up to your neck.
Yep.
Why can't you undo it? Okay. What we've just seen. No. I'll explain.
Okay.
No, I will explain to the people what's happened here. You've slowly zipped up a jacket, and then in one of the more thrilling moments that I've ever witnessed on radio, you've unzipped the jacket and taken it off.
Okay, that's not what happened on the weekend.
Wowee.
Let's try again. Hold on.
Okay, so the zip's gone up, and once again, you've slowly unzipped the jacket.
Okay,
in the most disappointing striptease that's ever happened to reveal a jumper
don't
underneath.
Oh, say disappointing.
You're wearing a jumper.
Oh, it's a sexy jumper.
It's a sexy jumper.
Can jumpers be
okay,
sexy?
Okay, are we changing this to do you own a sexy jumper? Give us a call, 131060.
Okay, on the weekend I got stuck in that and Ollie had to save me. I'm sorry that it hasn't happened for your pleasure again today. Anyway, should we go to calls?
I mean, Taylor, good luck topping the slowly zipping up and then unzipping a jacket, but where were you stuck?
I got stuck in the railings on a flight of stairs.
Sorry.
In the railings?
I thought you said in a raven.
In the railings. So I got my head stuck.
I was hoping it was a head.
On stairs.
As an adult or a child?
Oh, as a child.
I love it so much. And were you putting your head through just to see if it fit?
Yeah, pretty much. And then I couldn't get it out and then all the kids ran away in less than there for hours.
Taylor, it's like when kids get their hand or their head stuck up a skill tester. I don't understand how you can get it up there but you can't get it back out. It's the same
That's
head.
That's my point too, yes.
And what did they have to do? Just butter up your ears? How did they get you out?
Oh, my dad turned up a couple of hours later and he, muscle man, stretched it and got my head out.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah, he's the hero of that.
Well, he's the hero. A couple of hours. Taylor, how old were you?
8.
Wow. A couple of hours as an 8-year-old. Did you piss yourself, Taylor?
No, I held it.
Bloody good, Taylor. You should be proud of all that. Great stuff. Let's go to Maddie. Maddie, where'd you get stuck?
I was about 7 or 8 and I was at a friend's place for a sleepover and we were playing this stupid game where we were racing each other to get through barbed wire fences on her property. And I've got all tangled up in the barbed wire to the extent where an ambulance had to come and get me out because my mum was too scared to start pulling.
So were you cut up?
Yeah, so I ended up having to get stitches in a few places on my legs and one spot on my arm. It wasn't as bad, I think, as her mum probably initially thought, but yeah, she wasn't game to start pulling away.
I mean, Maddie, that's horrific. The other horrific thing is that you're telling an amazing story about getting stuck in barbed wire. Meanwhile, Carrie is zipping up her jacket again in the hope that she gets stuck in this jacket, which appears to have just a perfectly working zip.
No, it doesn't work now.
Mate, Maddie was stuck
radio.
In barbed wire and you're like, oh, hang on, this is boring compared to the jacket conundrum.
I was going to hopefully, while Maddie was talking, anyway.
Okay, good
it's
stuff,
still
mate.
Coming off.
Where have you been stuck? Because for me, it's in a radio show with a co-host who won't stop doing up and undoing a jacket. Lucy, finish us off. Where were you stuck?
I got stuck in some sexy lingerie.
That's, we should have dedicated the whole segment to you.
How did you? I mean, what happened? Did you just put it on and then couldn't find a guy to take it off, or what?
No, I bought a corset for like a sexy weekend away with my boyfriend, and basically I did all the clasps up. I was trying it on for the first time, and then the fire alarm in my building went off, and everyone had to evacuate, and I didn't have time to get all the clasps undone, so I had to go down to the street in my sexy corset lingerie.
Oh, they would have loved that, though.
Yeah, firstly.
Did you put pants on?
Yeah, I had some time to put some, like, tracksuit pants on, so it looked even weirder.
Lucy, I love it so much. And when I'm thinking about that in my head and then looking across at Bickers, who's just slowly doing up and undoing a jacket.
With a jumper on underneath.
Well, I'm with the wrong woman at the moment.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Hi, I'm sexologist Dr. Nikki, and my podcast, Sex and Life, is your peek behind the curtains of sex culture. Listen now at Podcast One as I open your eyes to the different ways sex can play a part in your life and relationships. If you're curious about the world of sex, this is the podcast for you. Sex and Life with me, Dr. Nikki, is available at Podcast One. Download the app or listen now at podcastone.com.au. No matter what you're into, there's one for everyone. Podcast One.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
There's something different in the air in this room right now, isn't there?
A frisson.
Yeah, because there is a legend in the room.
Yeah.
A legend of TV, but also just a damn legend in life. Kerri-Anne Kennelly, welcome.
Oh, it's lovely. Oh, thank you, of course. Pause. Thank you. Enough. Yeah.
Welcome, welcome. So you've written a book, A Bold Life. It went on sale last week, about your life. How did you find it? Was it fun, traumatic? What was the experience like?
Well, I've got to say, I just kept writing stuff. And luckily, my fab husband has for many years, in his detailed manner, kept scrapbooks. So I could actually chronicle my life.
What do you mean he's kept scrapbooks of your stuff that you've done?
Yeah, go figure. Because you see, I have no memory.
I was with you and John in Dubai a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, you partied harder than any of us. Like any of us. Is that
practice?
One of the... Well, that's the thing I thought. You've worked so incredibly hard. But have you managed to find a way to enjoy it as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've loved everything I've done. I did live TV for literally 30 years. But you can't live a life of, I have to get up early in the morning and I can't go out and party or do stuff like that. Yeah, I just did it both.
People are so boring now.
I know, they really take things very seriously.
I'm from the wrong era, Kerri-Anne. I would have loved to whirl around with you back in the day.
If you haven't done a show hungover, you haven't worked.
Thanks, Carl. One of the things you've revealed in the book is that you and John tried to have children for many years and that you'll always regret not having children, which made me incredibly sad that you had a miscarriage, yeah?
Yes, I lost a baby at over 4 months.
Gosh.
And it was, it was a very, very tough time.
Yeah.
But that happened. I rolled back to work the next day. It's just one of those things that happens. And it never really worked. And in those days, IVF was starting to become very popular.
Right.
But I also knew, having done the IVF stories, how hard it is. And especially in those days, it was not, it's not the panacea women think it is. Easier today, but very
still
hard
tricky.
Then.
Yeah.
So I've only ever done one interview about it, and I think it was probably Women's Weekly, and the reason I talk about it in there is because I got word, somebody had a bit of an insight about what had happened, and I was advised just to do a story, pick a mag, have control over it, do it once and never have to do it again.
Yeah.
So I successfully did that, and it worked. So, and I discussed it there. But when somebody's going to open up your life and you don't have control, that's when you
absolutely
take control.
I'm guessing this could easily be the story with this book as well. If you didn't write this book, someone was going to write a book about you, so it may as well be yours.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about that, but, you know, John insisted I did it, and it had to be honest, authentic, because everybody says, oh, but, you know, we know you, we've seen you for 30-odd years, but it would appear that there are a few things in there. I talk about guns in New York when I picked up a .22 and tried to kill my ex-husband. Oh, that's right. Nobody knew I had an ex-husband.
who was
a drug-addled lunatic who beat the hell out of me.
Right.
And for heaven's sake, I actually stayed for a little while. Go figure. Who was that woman?
So even when you wrote that part in the book, and knowing that you hadn't spoken to people about it, like, are you happy to have that out there now?
I don't really care. That was yesterday. So I have to go back and reread it. And I did have to dig deep on that because I'm very good at being selective in terms of what I carry through. You know, tough stuff happens. Get over it. You get through it. Doesn't mean it's easy. You just move on. Otherwise, you carry a lot of heavy baggage and it's not healthy.
Well, speaking of tough stuff, you're obviously on a very tough journey with John at the moment. How's he going?
He's just remarkable. He has managed to really prove what mettle he's got. He still can't push a button, turn a page or feed himself, but that's why I'm the remote queen.
Oh.
He hated me with the remote in the first place because I could watch 3 shows in a commercial break. It drives him insane! But now he can't do anything about it. So, he really won't get any more movement. But
right. We
are fabulously lucky in the sense that he can actually eat, chew, swallow and speak.
So he knows you by his side.
He's on a lot of drugs, none of them fun.
Well, you guys are absolutely fabulous. Thank you for everything you've done for all of us watching you on the box for all those years. And, you know, I can't wait to see what else you've got to do and read it. It's
a
good read, people.
And have a good time.
It is A Bold Life by Kerri-Anne Kennelly, published by Macmillan, on sale now. Kerri-Anne Kennelly, thanks so much for dropping by.
Thank you.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Now, I was out for dinner last night
with
some mates. And, you know, when you've been out with your friends for a while and you get along well with them and everything, and you know everything about them, and you're like, what more is there to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, last night I opened Pandora's box because I discovered something about a friend that I hadn't known.
A nugget. You found a nugget.
A nugget. But this nugget then led the conversation for the next half an hour because this nugget is a man.
I think we've got to stop saying nugget. It's making me think of a turd.
Nugget is a man, and we were out with 3 other women. And for the 3 women, this conversation, once we found out about this nugget, was our focus for the next 30 minutes because it intrigued me. I want to welcome my friend to the show, Sam. Hello.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Nice to phone meet you, Sam.
Thank you. And it's good to be referred as commonly as a nugget.
Well, what was your nickname growing up, Sam? Did you have a nickname?
No, pretty boring. Sam, Magoo.
Yeah, hang on, that went from pretty boring stuff to very fun. Is that part of your last name?
Yeah, McGuan. Yeah.
Oh.
Commonly known to, if I get called by telecommunications people, it's McGuan, McGunay.
I always thought it was McGuan, so there we go.
Well,
I discovered something else about my friend,
McGuan.
You thought this was your Spanish friend.
McGuan.
Yeah, we call him Nugget.
The reason I asked about his name is because I'm assuming he just got called Sam growing up, because if he wasn't called Sam, his mum wouldn't have been able to keep track of him and the other 11 children that she had. 12 kids in Sam's family.
Is this
12
the
children.
One of 12, Sam. I mean, my first question, and because my dad was one of 7, and so I'm assuming this could be the same. Catholic family?
Absolutely, yeah. Catholic family. I think they were gifts from God at some stage, and then my mum woke up to that at about number 9 going, hang on, Dad, what's happening here? This gift thing isn't flying with me anymore.
I think my dad said, he goes, well, my father's birthday came around once a year, so there was another child.
Well, I said to Sam last night, without being disrespectful to his mother, surely by the 12th they're just dropping out, because I cannot imagine physically birthing 12 children. Like, I know what's going on down there. It's a mess after 2, let alone 12. I don't think Sam liked thinking of his mother in this way. But the interesting thing was Sam then said to me,
I think we're all thinking about your mess now.
Sam then said to me, his mum would have had more.
My mum would have continued to have children for quite some time if the doctors didn't say, now listen, Mari and Ted, this has to stop at some point. How are we going to get this done? I remember my dad going in for a vasectomy, actually, and because obviously we're a Catholic family and those sort of things aren't quite the done thing. But I remember Mum talking about my dad going in to have his appendix out. Now, number one, my dad wasn't sick. And number two, my mum was crying the whole time. So I was like, oh my God, I'm pretty sure he's going to be okay. It's just appendicitis. But years later, we found out about this vasectomy story, which was quite a laugh.
So how many years between the first child and the last?
There's 21 years between the 12 children. Yeah.
So like a quarter of her life was spent
pregnant for 12 years. Yeah.
God.
There's a really great story about a woman like my mother, you know, just getting on and doing things, and that was that she actually went into labour during a dinner party, and so the dinner party had to continue on because my mum and dad were hosting, and so my mum cooked dinner, went away for contractions, came back into the dinner party, did her thing, got everyone out the door, turned to my dad and said, we need to get to hospital now, and so, you know, had a child half an hour later after she, you know, entertained 10 or 11 other
adults.
What
number was that?
I think it was late in the game too, so things were happening pretty quickly.
That's amazing. And Sam, where do you fit in? Are you like the awkward eighth child or whereabouts?
No, I'm the last man. I used to say last boy, but I think I've graduated to a man at some point. So number seven out of seven boys, and then we've got the five girls.
One of the things we were talking about last night was growing up when you got lost. How often did you get lost?
Yeah, quite a bit. My mum left me at Safeway once, which was the reason I can't walk back into the frozen food section because it brings back nightmares.
Traumatised.
The story goes that the other, say, there were eight or nine other people in the bus. So I was talking to Carrie last night about the bus that we used to have to drive around. There's a 14-seater bus. I'll send you through a picture at some stage. But my mum got halfway home, which was about a half an hour trip into town, turned around and said, now, there's someone missing. What's going on? And little old Sammy's in the frozen food section going through Peter's ice cream like you wouldn't believe. But
I mean, firstly, that sounds like the best place to get lost ever.
Absolutely.
So many more questions.
And not enough time. We've got to do a song. Let's play a song. Okay. Can you stay there, Sam? You don't have a sibling to call or anything. You can wait for 3 minutes.
No. All right, we'll be Jasmine in my backyard if you want the visual. But...
Fantastic. Nowhere better to be.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Still chatting to Carrie's mate, Sam, who's one of 12 children.
Sam, did you ever consider, like, firstly, when I think of such a huge gang, I'm like, oh, you could have a whole mixed netball team or a whole basketball team of all your family. Did you ever have a whole team of anything?
Well, no, because there's varying levels of awkwardness between all of us. So some people not into sport, there's people who are incredible musicians, and so we never actually quite gelled together to create the PR dynasty that would have been the McGuan Fast Five Netball. And we're devastated we didn't have the foresight to try and create that back in the day. But no, look, there's so many varied talents and bits and pieces, and there's some quite weird ones in between. I won't name names, but there's
so are you friends with them all,
varied.
Though? Like, are you close?
We're really, really lucky in that we all do get along through thick and thin, and there's been the odd, you know, those times that which all families go through, but we're really, really lucky in that we all still get along. Most Sundays there's still a roast at my mum's house for 20-plus people.
How many nieces and nephews now?
Altogether, my mum has 36 grandchildren. So I have 33 nieces and nephews, and I was an uncle at six or seven. It was quite unusual, but loads of fun. When we all get together, it's monumental. Christmas this year, we have a year on and year off. Christmas this year, when we're all together, we'll be a team of sort of 50-plus people and, you know, a free-for-all.
Sam, with that and with the roast that you mentioned just before, just logistically, do you all eat at the same time? Because how many ovens do you have?
And how many table seatings?
Yeah.
No, we generally just have a sort of a rolling mess that goes for about 2 hours. Yeah. And my mum has it down pat now after 30 or 40 years.
Yeah.
It's literally just food all morning, it's roasts, it's all serve your own plates and then grab a seat where you can. And if you happen to be in the corner watching Test cricket while there's 15 other people around the table because you can't get a seat, well, then that's just your bad luck and you should have got there earlier. After 25 years of missing out on food, you should have learned something.
I was going to say, you don't eat fast for a man that would have had to fight for his food most of his life. Yeah. Do you reckon your mum's jealous of iPads now? She just goes, oh, my God, my life could have been so easy. I could have given them all an iPad and they would have shut up for hours.
Yeah, probably. Now she's got the grandkids and she's got them all sorted. So in between Netflix and Foxtel, my mum's continued to evolve with the ages. A really quick story. I nominated my mum back in about 2008 for Mother of the Year, Australian Mother of the Year.
Aww.
And she came third, which I'm still appealing the process at the moment. I'm gutted that she didn't win. But that's, you know, that some of those other mothers and the people that are connected in that world and what mum was able to do just to survive mentally and physically. I know what I go through now. And it's just huge. She is a superstar, and she gets better with age. She's superb.
Oh, well, Sam, I'm glad I know more about you now after our years of friendship.
I can't believe that you didn't already know that, but that's fine.
Well, because I think we've had a professional working relationship, so it's not often I delve into, you know, tell me about life when you were five.
And
but
normally
I'm
surprised. It's normally an icebreaker for me. It sort of it carries the conversation for a little while. Somehow
well,
I sneak in there. I'm in a family of 12 and then it's gone. And then all of a sudden we've got rapport and we can, you know, but we obviously never got there, Carrie. There's probably a few other things we need to talk about. So.
Maybe now's not the time.
What I'm learning about this is that after 2 years of friendship, it's been a lot of Carrie talking and a lot of nugget listening.
Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little.
Well, it's been a roller coaster ride.
Hasn't it?
I'm disappointed I couldn't get stuck in my jacket. I really wanted to show you how my zip got stuck. That was low light.
You need to stop trying that.
Yeah, I will now. It's not really funny anymore.
I haven't enjoyed any songs because it just sounds like a bad DJ is trying to remix it because in the background,
what happens is I get out of this booth. And then my zip gets stuck and I'll be like, Tommy, my zip's stuck.
You won't believe what's happened.
Hamish and Andy, they are in next, guys. We'll catch you tomorrow.
Bye. Bye.
The Carrie and Tommy catch-up is ready to podcast now on Radio App or iTunes.
Follow Carrie Bickmore and Tommy Little on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram @CarrieTommyShow.